Exchange 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's congressional address met with rousing applause on the Republican side and stony silence or cries of lies on the Democratic side. ABC's Karen Travers with more from Washington.
The only thing that came close to a bipartisan moment was applause for the family of Corey Comprator, who was killed at the president's rally in Butler, Pennsylvania last summer. That was it. It was the only thing that got many Democrats on their feet. Certainly was not policy comments from the president throughout this speech.
The president vowing to continue a swift campaign to reshape the federal government and to radically reform longstanding policies on the economy, immigration, and foreign policy. The IRS is the latest government agency drafting up plans to cut its workforce roughly in half. Israel has once again cut off food, medicine, and other supplies to Gaza. Now that the first phase of the ceasefire has ended, Israel so far delaying moving in to phase two. This is ABC News. A major development in the case against Brian Koberger, the man accused of killing four Idaho college students.
Brian Koberger's defense team has filed a motion to remove the death penalty as a possible sentence. His attorneys say Koberger is, quote, essentially a piece of evidence to be examined and evaluated. One expert testified his autism has a significant impact on his life.
And the fear is that people will take his ASD and instead attribute some sort of guilt or menacing aspect to it. And for that reason, the defense believes that the death penalty should be struck.
This is the Koberger team's latest attempt to have the death penalty removed. Previously, his attorney cited that it's unconstitutional and arbitrarily applied. The trial, meanwhile, is set for August.
That's ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Greenland's prime minister reiterating Greenland is ours and cannot be taken or bought. Those words in defiance to President Trump, who vowed again during his speech last night to acquire the territory, in his words, one way or another. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The Bucks beat the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks down the Hawks 127-121 in Atlanta. Damian Lillard scored 23 points, but after the game had a swollen black left eye. How'd that happen?
I went up to try to, you know, help off the glass, and was behind the guy. His arm just came down. His elbow went, you know, right up. Like, the point of his elbow hit right on my eyeball. So, you know, once it hit, I knew it was either going to swell up or turn black. But my vision was, I never had my vision get blurry like that.
Men's college basketball, number 12th ranked Wisconsin in Minnesota tonight for the border battle, while number 20th ranked Marquette seeking revenge at UConn. NFL, Green Bay Packers re-signing kicker Brandon McManus to a new three-year deal worth $15.3 million. McManus gets a $5 million signing bonus with another $5 million guaranteed. He turns 34 this summer at the start of training camp. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Kieran Culkin is now an Oscar winner, having won the award for Best Supporting Actor last Sunday night. However, if Culkin had his way, someone else would have won. Just 2 weeks before the film written by Jesse Eisenberg was to start shooting, Culkin said he almost quit because the last season of Succession went on longer than anticipated and he wanted to spend time with his family. Culkin also won the Golden Globe and Screen Actors Guild Award for his performance. Being a good dad only goes so far. Speaking of the Culkins, Kieran Culkin has come a long way from playing Fuller McAllister in Home Alone alongside his brother Macaulay. Macaulay attended after parties with his wife Brenda and said he knew his younger brother was going to win because of where they sat him in proximity to the stage. The older Culkin was asked if he would see his brother later that night, and his response was, "I'm not sure. He's a busy guy." He's now Academy Award-winning actor Kieran Culkin. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Snow will continue, and we could end up with another couple, maybe 3 inches of accumulation by the time things wind down later today. And it is windy. Gusts from 30 to 40 will create blowing snow, reducing visibility significantly at times, especially in rural areas. Conditions will improve late today into tonight. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06 on this Wednesday morning, March 5th. Nice to have you along. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, Congressman Mark Pocan will give us his take. He was in the House chamber last night for President Trump's address to a joint session of Congress. I expect that if it's a Siskel and Ebert thing, we might see two thumbs down from the congressman. But I don't want to be a spoiler alert on that one. We'll also talk to Todd Alba later as well. We have 3 guests coming up in a matter of minutes from 2 different school districts in the state. A lot of referendums on the ballot on April 1st. Again, so we will again go over the reasons why that is and why property taxpayers are being asked to make up the difference for a legislature that continues to fall behind inflation and its own commitments to our public school students. But first, it is a amazingly gross morning out there in parts of Wisconsin weather-wise, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us a bit more about it. Brittany, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am pretty tired. This storm has worn me out, but it's also very interesting, keeping me on my toes. We've got a lot going on out there.
Yeah, I mean, here in Chippewa Falls, the rain must not have cut over right away, because we have a lot less than I would have expected overnight. I mean, maybe two inches, but certainly other people were getting more for snow overnight.
Yes, they have. Right now, reports just came in from Phillips at 7.3 inches. Rhinelander is coming in at 6.8, and even Butternut at 6.2. So areas are definitely getting hit up north. Here in Wausau, I woke up this morning, 5 a.m. It was just a slushy kind of slop out there, but now it has switched over. It is all snow. It is flying sideways. We've got winds gusting up to 40 miles per hour already into Hayward. Eau Claire, you're feeling that as well. They're sustained at a normal wind at about 25. So we're going to have a very, very windy day. Whiteout conditions are expected where it's still snowing, and the snow is still going to flip over. Now it's starting to move in towards the Dells area, into Stevens Point, and it's cornering the Fox Valley as we speak. So expect a wintry mix first, a very slushy, icy kind of form, and then it'll flip to all snow as we go into the next few hours here. So a winter storm warning up north remains in effect until 6 o'clock tonight. That's from La Crosse to Stevens Point to Rhinelander and north. We've also got a winter weather advisory in effect until 9 o'clock into the Fox Valley and the Dells. And then a wind advisory, too, for those 40 to 50 mile per hour gusts from Fond du Lac into Reedsburg, Madison, and Milwaukee. Speaking of those cities, Madison and Milwaukee, you're not out of the clear just yet. This will flip to snow this afternoon, and we are looking at around 1 or 2 inches into the Madison area and probably a trace to 1 inch towards Milwaukee. So it will get slippery. You will see some of it. but the brunt of it is definitely staying north. So up north, this should wind down later on this evening. A few flurries still do fly into the night. We do have sunshine on tap tomorrow. But today, that cold front's moving through. It's going to be in the afternoon, highs pretty much in those 20s statewide.
It's just so gross. Yes. You know, that it's crunchy. It's slippery. You know, the snow was wet and heavy. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Snowing in 34. The rain switched over to snow around 5:30 this morning. An inch and a half of rain before it changed to snow. He says many schools in north central Wisconsin are closed. 29 eastbound was closed by Highway S near Marathon City, and the roads are snow covered and slushy, or that slush is turning to ice. He says be careful shoveling snow. It will be a heart attack snow, hard to push. And like you said, Brittany, it's going to be warming up. So, you know, if it doesn't if it doesn't need to be moved, I mean, it's tough to say in the 6 to 7 inch places, but other places, you might be okay letting it slide.
Right? You might be okay, because we will get above freezing as we go through tomorrow, and that sun will work its way on it. So there's some hope.
All right. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you a little bit later on. Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network this morning on Matt and Air on Air, Mr. Bach, I believe you have Darren Von Rudin from the Wisconsin Farmers Union coming up at 11 o'clock this morning.
Darren Von Rudin from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. I like the beat of that. That's just fun to say. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting discussion. We're going to be talking about all sorts of things like right to repair and, you know, other matters having to do with the farming community. And I always love having Darren on the show. He's always on the first Wednesday of the month to discuss all that is happening in the ag world.
Just a fantastic guest. Maggie Dawn will have Jeremy Janine from Urban MKE on at 2:30. And State Senate Democratic leader Diane Hesselbein at 3:05. And then Nightlight with Pete Schwabe tonight includes Milwaukee entertainment reporter Chris Foran at 6:35 tonight, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And here at Up North News, remember that you can get our daily newsletter, sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com, and follow us on social media as well. For the rest of this half hour, we've got three special guests here. Wendy DeZurek is past superintendent for Marinette. Paula Grzynski, also from Marinette, will be talking about the school referendum there. And Danae Walsasak from the Prentice Referenda Committee is joining us as well to talk about the many referenda on the ballot across Wisconsin come April 1st. Paula, Wendy, Danae, good morning. How are y'all?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all here. Thank you so much for being here. For folks who are regular listeners of the show, the theme will be familiar, but it's one we're going to continue to hit anyway, because there are, once again, so many school referendums on the ballot. Now, the folks who are here are representing their school district, their community, the people who believe in their public schools. They're not here necessarily to critique the Wisconsin legislature to the point that I will. So just bear that in mind as they make the case for voters in their districts to show their support for whatever reason. So, Danae, let me start with you over in Prentice, and tell us what is on the ballot come April 1st.
Well, we'll be seeking for $950,000, so under $1 million for the next 4 years. And really, that's just to operate. And when we're operating the way that we are, it's bare bones. So it's just really crucial that this passes, because if it doesn't, it's just kind of a spiral down from here, because right now we're struggling to keep enough teachers. We currently have... we're down a janitor, we're down a secretary, we're down interventionists, we don't have a speech therapist, which my son needs, and they tried to hire twice this year. Our elementary through high school principal, we only have one principal for a whole school system. She's currently teaching math right now, because it's, no one wants to come to a school whose future is uncertain. So right now we're just struggling just to make it and operate bare bones. So this is just a really important thing for our community to understand, like, this is our shot to just kind of keep going and help our school out and help the kids in our community to get a good education right in our community.
And well, so, the way that you put it at a recent rally for public schools, and this was captured extremely well in the Wisconsin Examiner by Baylor Spears, who wrote up the story and quoted a lot of what you just had to say. And, you know, you said it's affecting our community, our way of life. I ask you from the People Apprentice, don't let us fade away. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Danae, that line got passed around a lot around Wisconsin, because it's not just Prentice. I'm not minimizing what you're going through, but public education in Wisconsin, in many places, almost seems like it's at risk of fading away in our small communities.
Yeah, it really is. And what we have is just our school and our community are so tied together. We don't have, like, all community events happen at our school. The community supports our school. The school supports the community. We work in unison. We're just deeply together, and we can't survive without each other because we have that foot traffic from the games, the concerts, the performances that bring in the families, the grandparents, friends, and people from out of town that come into Prentice, and they go to the gas station, they go to the hardware store, they'll get their hair cut, you know, they go to the grocery store. It's just really important to keep our families here and give them their services, because a lot of our families don't have the resources that they do need, because being real, we are underserved. And I mean, that's all over Wisconsin with the rural areas. And this school is so important because it's that heart of our community, because you can have the social workers come in to help. We have different types of programs. Like right now, all of our students get free breakfast and lunches because of the income and poverty level in our community. And so it is just vital for some of these kids to have the programs and different resources available to them, and their families getting embraced in our community, and the staff that comes to our school and works at our school to help them get to those points and different things that they do need to be successful, and their children to be successful as well, not just academically, but just like mental health wise or physically, emotionally. It's just kind of our everything right now. So it's just a lot on the line. And it's just really hard sometimes to speak about, because it's just, we really need each other. And sometimes it's hard for people to understand that this school is just much more than education.
It really is about a community. And Wendy, can you set up the same situation in Marinette? Tell us what you're asking folks to approve on April 1st.
Well, the school district in Marinette did a facility study to determine that they determine what they need for their middle and their high school facilities. And so they are asking for a $48 million capital referendum, not an operating referendum like Prentice is. And this would fund major building system upgrades to improve safety, security, and renovate some of those middle and high school learning spaces, specifically the tech ed area. Marinette has a large industry, and we love to keep our students in the area. So we have a vibrant tech ed program that we want to make sure is up to date and modern and aligns with industry standards.
And Paula, also from Marinette, but you and I have known each other from political circles for a long time here. And so you are especially talented at threading the needle and helping people understand that this is not a function of some school districts, you know, being greedy and not good stewards. There are political reasons in Madison or even Washington that lead to this, but also not simply relying on politics as a scapegoat, because this is a community issue. So there really is, with every one of these referendums, I've learned a real communication effort that goes into this. And as I get set to ask you about it, I realize I hadn't looked at the clock and I'm up against a commercial break. So Paula, hold that thought. And then we're going to jump into communicating to a school district and to its voters the importance of supporting these referendums because of factors that are often out of their control. We'll be back in 2 minutes. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We reported last year that the Trump transition team had been funding itself through unknown private donations and refused to sign a General Services Administration transition support memo, which limited private donations to $5,000. The memo was never signed, and the transition's private donors still haven't been disclosed. Nonprofit news site Notice reports that previous transition teams disclosed that information by February 19th, including Trump's first transition. In November, Trump's chief of staff promised to disclose those donors. The Presidential Transition Act of 1963 allows money controlled by the GSA to fund presidential transition expenses, including office space, personnel, IT, and other support services to aid incoming and outgoing administrations. That funding is contingent on the incoming administration signing a memo of understanding and the $5,000 limit on private donations. But while Trump's team agreed on the terms of the new administration's move into the White House, it refused to sign GSA's transition support memo, allowing it to sidestep the limits and disclosure requirements. So between November 7th and January 20th, it's likely millions were received from wealthy donors and corporations, and Americans still don't know who funded its transfer of power and the influence it bought. We've linked the Notice report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
The sky is gray. Candies in the tears roll down the street.
We are continuing our conversation here on a couple of more school district referendums happening around Wisconsin. We've been talking with Danae Walsasak from the Prentice Referenda Committee. Wendy DeZurek is past superintendent for Marinette. Paula Grzynski is in the Marinette area as well. And Paula, we were going into break by talking about communicating all of this to a district's voters. So how do you describe basically what it is that you're trying to do on behalf of your community school district?
We want to make sure that they really understand the importance of their vote, that the school can't spend this money unless the voters approve the referendum. And so we want to make sure that they understand the three specific areas, the renovating the learning environments, improving safety, and then addressing the aging systems, the failing plumbing and things like that. So really making sure that in addition to the school district, right, we're a separate entity from the school district, they're doing a fabulous job. As Wendy said, the school district has a tab on the district website that goes through this, but just lending a little bit of extra community support through social media and some other things that we're doing to make sure people really have the facts so that they understand that their yes vote is critical.
It is very much so, but like I said, there is that that tie into a legislature that for 16 years also hasn't allowed state aid to keep up with inflation, and so you have legislators who represent a lot of these districts whose actions have been a little bit less than helpful. Does that make your job that much harder when talking to voters that there are some local legislators who appear to be at cross purposes with your own school district goals and needs?
I don't think so. I actually think it makes it easier to explain why their vote is important, why their yes vote is important for the referendum, or why their vote in a November election for their local assembly person or Senate person is so critical. It's not some out there, well, it doesn't really affect me. It is critical. So it's actually a great tie-in to talk about the importance of the referendum and talk about how the local legislators aren't supporting our school district and how voters, not at this April election, but down the line, the voters can actually make their voices heard with the elected officials and how important it is for them to actually do what they say, which is support their local communities.
Danae, coming back to Prentice for a moment, and I hope I'm not getting too apples and oranges when talking about the national political climate, but I'm just wondering if the current, what I would describe as a feeding frenzy of spending cuts at the federal level, and the fact that there's now all of this exposure about the damage that some of that is doing, which is not to say that, you know, there isn't too much spending, but the cuts that are being made are in some pretty essential places. And people are talking about that, the harm to veterans' health care and national parks and things like that. Danae, do you get any sense that maybe in some way this is helping folks in your district and elsewhere see that, there's a lot of spending out there, but we have to concentrate on the spending that is good, the spending that is most beneficial to people in our community, whether it's veterans or, in this case, whether it's school kids. Do you feel like there's a case to be made there for, you know, the difference between good spending versus, you know, higher property taxes?
Yes. Like, in our community, a lot of the concern, like, the community really cares about our kids. They really do. And they care about our school because, like I said, it is the heart of our school, heart of our community. But yes, like, they're angry. They're like, what's going on? Why is there this money here? Like, why is there a surplus? That's nothing to brag about when we're suffering over here. And like, around here, there's a lot of land. So there's a lot of big taxes coming in. We have anywhere from a 12% to 49% in these different municipalities on how they're taxing their property to pay for our school portion. And so that was is a big hurdle for us to get over, to say, the school didn't do that. The state is deciding to do it this way with your taxes, but we also need to get more from you just to operate. So that makes them like, okay, well, we're trying to get the point, like, let's do this now. And then we continue to go forward from here. And then we go to our legislators. We need them to understand.
And Wendy, that is probably the toughest part of your job or anybody's job, is that the school funding system is already ridiculously complex. And so it's not easy to explain what has led to the need for a referendum, even with a state budget multi-billion dollar surplus. But clearly you feel you and your neighbors are up to the challenge, or you wouldn't be doing this.
Absolutely. And the Marinette School District has been a good steward of the community dollars. Looking on the website, people will notice that it is $30 per 100,000, I believe, that would be taxed, would change in your taxes if the referendum were passed. So they were definitely looking to go at a time when it would be the most fiscally, I guess, favorable for the taxpayers to come in. But it is hard because the formula is different. But with the revenue limits, districts have to be respectful of those. They cannot change those unless the taxpayer says so. So it really is a local decision by each community, which makes it difficult sometimes, because people say, well, why do we have to spend this money? The neighboring district didn't spend it. Or why are you asking for more than the neighboring district? Or why are they asking for different things? So it is complicated, and it is always requires a district to be sure they have all their ducks in a row, of course, when they go out to referendum, so they can explain the why. And if you notice in Marinette's referendum, it's nothing frivolous. It's all basic needs. If it were your home, you'd have to do the same things to it to maintain it and live in it. And that's what the district is asking for, just basic needs to be sure that the Marinette kids receive a great education in
exactly
a safe environment.
And it's about getting those details. It's so easy to just simply say, that's a lot of spending, you know, compared to, no, here are the reasons behind it. Here's what we're asking for. Look past the declining enrollment numbers and things like that. It takes really dedicated communication. And I really don't see how anybody is better than the three people that are on this screen right now to do that in their communities. Wendy DeZurich is past superintendent for Marinette. Paula Grzynski joins us from the Marinette area. And Danae Walsisak from the Prentice Committee. Ladies, thank you also very much. Good luck to you. And we wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
When we come back, Congressman Mark Pocan will be here on Up North News Radio from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Well, the job market may not be as red hot as it once was, but I'll tell you what, if you're pursuing a career in agriculture, there's still plenty of opportunity. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And coming up on March 11th, technical colleges across the state want to focus in on that agriculture opportunity. It's Wisconsin Technical College System Ag Day. And according to Terry Rotz, who's part of the Ag Day celebration, people need to understand the excellent opportunities that agriculture is providing students.
Students, again, you know, they're gravitating towards those short-term technical diplomas and certificates. It's a more affordable way to get the credentials that they need that they can use in the workforce. I think overall in the ag industry, I always tell my students, as long as you have an ag degree, you're probably going to find a job pretty easily. The job market in agriculture is always very strong. Ag's needed every day by everybody, you know, whether it's the food we eat or the clothes we wear.
Terry Rotz, she is with the Wisconsin Technical College System, March 11th, their Ag Day celebration. You can find out more about that celebration and getting involved at mstc.edu. mstc.edu.
Are you looking to sell your excess construction equipment? Trust the pros at Steffes Group to get the best return on your investment. Steffes is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. Our team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service, and we work with you every step of the way to ensure a smooth and successful auction process. Visit steffesgroup.com to find a sales rep near you and discuss your options today. That's steffesgroup.com. S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
And it may not look like it today, but county fair season's just around the corner. The Wisconsin Pork Association helping some young people get involved with swine projects. They've given 50 young people $100 scholarships to help offset the cost of their upcoming 4-H and FFA swine projects. The Youth Pig Project Scholarship Program started in 2003 to encourage young people to become involved in the Wisconsin pork industry. This year, 135 youth submitted applications for consideration. That's a look at food news on a Wednesday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Snow will continue, and we could end up with another couple, maybe 3 inches of accumulation by the time things wind down later today. And it is windy. Gusts from 30 to 40 will create blowing snow, reducing visibility significantly at times, especially in rural areas. Conditions will improve late today into tonight. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Dr. Omar, we sometimes think I'm going to lose weight. I'm at the gym 3-4 times a week, and then 2 months down the road, they see that they've lost 3 pounds.
Think of the 4 main things to help us balance: how I sleep, how I eat, how I live, and my relationships. Don't shy away from seeking therapy. We need to seek that support to keep our health goals going.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Dom is back in the seat with Matt Rothschild as co-host. Was that a state or a union we saw last night? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I've decided I can't just keep playing generic circus music when I talk about some of the things that happened under the big tent in the nation's capital. So Three Dog Night has already done it. So you're going to hear more of them as we have segments like this one with Congressman Mark Pocan talking about the president's address last night. By the way, we talked about it in our last hour as well. If you've ever missed an hour of the show and want to listen back to it, head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. And from there, you can not only find the stations, you can find the shows, and you can listen to past hours. And in the last hour, I offered this very gross oversimplification that said, basically, the era that we live in now, if you win a presidential election, one of your prizes is that you get to give your campaign speech all over again, and the party on the losing side has to sit there and listen to it. Congressman Pocan had to subject himself to that in the House chamber yesterday and joins us this morning. Congressman, good morning. With apologies for the oversimplification, but I don't think it was anything other than a campaign address, right?
Well, and you know, the biggest thing they're working on is this tax cut for the wealthiest, the transfer $4.5 trillion, kill a bunch of programs for the middle class and people aspiring to be, and then load more onto local property taxpayers as well to pay for the loss in programming. So then you're going to get hit twice to pay for that tax break. And I think that was in there for all of about 2 minutes out of the 14-hour speech we had last night. So, you know, it was much more of a campaign speech. It was much more of like his rally for the Republicans. But he ignored what they're actually doing in Washington. And I don't blame him, I guess, because it's pretty dumb stuff. It's very unpopular. It's literally, you know, shutting down programs that we benefit from. So it was Donald Trump in his classic form.
It was. And in doing so, I think, like you said, basically trying to put some kind of a positive spin on the wreckage that has ensued over his past few weeks here. And again, with the acknowledgement that this might be a case of rose-colored glasses, but there is the potential that we will look back on this time and that more Americans than before will say, well, yeah, federal and state budgets, they are really big, but they do pay for a lot of things that I just never thought about until now, things that don't affect me. But I don't want veterans' health care to be cut. I don't want the national parks to be closed. I don't want farmers to lose out on their conservation checks and things like that. There just might be, at the end of all this, a slightly greater appreciation for the work of actually governing a country.
To me, the tipping point is we've got to work really hard now to get that information out, because by the time they do the tax bill, which is what they're trying to do as quickly as April, that was the original plan. Trump wanted to do it in his first 100 days, but they need to get the additional bodies from people he appointed out of the House into the House to do it. But if people don't know about the cuts prior to that, they're just only going to experience them after the fact when it's too late to change anything. But already people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already farmers aren't getting their grants, even though the Trump administration says no farmers lost their grant. We've got obviously many, many, many in Wisconsin, Organic Valley alone losing their dairy business innovation grants. It's been announced. We've got people who federal employees at across the country. I mean, 85% of the public employees are outside Washington, D.C. in places like Wisconsin. 18,000 people are losing their jobs. And, you know, Stephen's point, there is an agency that works. I'm trying to be a little bit obscure on purpose for the family's sake, but an agency that works with farmers. I did a farmers union event in Chippewa Falls. They invited Democrats and Republicans. No Republicans showed up, Derek Van Orden, Tom Tiffany, or any of the state legislators from the area, Republicans. Democrats did. And, you know, they announced at the end, someone that many people work with out of one of the agencies in Stevens Point found out he had lost his job through these purges that Donald Trump's doing. And the person took their life that night. And this is just the real life ramifications of what's happening. But if people don't know that and they just get their information from their own social media, the problem is it may be too late before they realize the real consequences.
Yeah, we've really come to appreciate here. And one of my Courier Newsroom colleagues, Billy Ball in North Carolina, had a video about this yesterday where he said, you know, the gap in this country, it isn't so much about Democratic versus Republican messages as it is about good information versus bad information. And so many people are getting bad information, or they're not getting all of the information. And much like we talked about with our three guests from the school districts in our last segment here, so much work now more than ever has to go into communicating what all is behind this to a public that frankly doesn't like to hear a lot about politics. But if you can't convey, you know, the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think, oh yeah, he's just cutting wasteful spending.
And, you know, it's not even, I think, as simple as bad information. I would call that maybe misinformation, but it's disinformation. It's intentionally false information. So then it's even a bit harder to combat because some people are kind of taking the gullibility of anything Donald Trump says is true. And, you know, I can pretty much guarantee we're not going to have Greenland. Canada's not going to be our 51st state. You know, you can go down the litany of things he says that won't be true. But, you know, people, if they are not aware of what he's doing around these cuts, I mean, education, you know, the fact you had a segment of education, Pat, they're cutting 45% of the federal funding for education in that bill they passed, the Republicans voted for last week in Congress. Well, if you start cutting Title I and IDEA funds, which are very likely going to have to happen with a 45% cut, that's going to affect local property taxpayers because you can't make class sizes as big and fire as many teachers as would be required. So some of that could very likely go on the property tax. So now, in addition to state taxes going up because of some of the cuts there, your property taxes are going to go up. You're paying like two or three times for those tax cuts for Elon Musk and Donald Trump, but you won't know about it till after it's done unless we really get this information out in the next 30 to 45 days.
I mean, it really is a case of kicking the can or passing the buck, I think would be the better analogy. You have a legislature that has been shortchanging school districts for, you know, 15 years and making local school districts look like the bad guys asking for more revenue. And now the same thing is happening from Republicans in Congress who are also passing the buck down to the local level. There's also the smoke and mirrors about accomplishments. And I'm talking in this case about tariffs with Canada and Mexico, where, again, we have been warning people that these are going to lead to price increases. It's going to lead to economic disruption in both countries. And yet the White House is now making noise that, well, we might lift those tariffs as early as today. We think we're going to make a deal. The thing that I don't think gets conveyed out there is that people might be thinking, wow, that Trump, he sure is good. I mean, he put tariffs in on Tuesday and they were lifted on Wednesday because Canada caved. He's got such a shtick basically of talking tough, but then he gets the other side to agree to like one little nugget of something. And then he says, I won, when there really isn't going to be any significant change, I don't think, in how we deal with Canada and Mexico in the end.
But the chaos along the way is pretty considerable. Our number one trading partner is Canada from Wisconsin, number two, Mexico, number three, China. Guess what countries he's putting tariffs on? Guess what that means? We all pay more. He hasn't addressed the economy like he promised in November. That's why we're paying more for things like eggs and all kinds of other stuff. This will make things go even more expensive if he actually continues on it. But you're right. He folds like a cheap deck of cards. And, you know, I think, though, this is my opinion to only, Pat, but I think as long as we're in this debate about the tax stuff, you're going to have some tariff debate, because I think ultimately they're not going to be able to do the cuts that Republicans have recommended committees find. So they voted to cut Medicaid, but when the actual vote comes back, the specific vote, they're hearing it from their constituents right now. They're not going to be able to do it. So he's going to need funny money, and he can have funny money by claiming how much he'll bring in from tariffs. And then if, instead, at the end, when all that doesn't come true, all of that tax cut for Elon Musk will just go on the national debt like the last time. But that means our kids and our grandkids get a chance to pay for that, so that Elon Musk and Donald Trump get that tax break.
Well, that gets us to the question of Democratic messaging, of which, you know, you excel particularly well, but it's something that, as you and I know, party wide continues to be a challenge, in that it's pretty well known from folks who study this stuff that Donald Trump, you know, grew the national debt. He grew the deficit. He was a king of deficit spending. And yet that didn't seem to stick to him. Now you have that same challenge this time around with a tax bill that, again, is going to make our debt worse. And yet there doesn't appear to be a magic wand for Democrats to help more Americans understand that this guy is coming not with benefits, but with a great big price tag.
So I do think this is one where, you know, the saying, if the people lead, eventually the leaders will follow. I think it's true, more true than ever. I think leaders are having a little bit of a hard time going, do we focus on the cuts? Do we focus on the debt? Do we focus on the economy, which we should probably, because that's where Trump's at his worst right now. And he was at his best in November, but they're trying to juggle it all. But people are giving us, all of us, record numbers of phone calls to our offices and emails. Every member I've talked to has got that. So people are tuning in, especially people who have a family member on Medicaid, which, by the way, in Wisconsin is 1 out of 3 kids are on Medicaid for their health care. 55% of our seniors in nursing homes, my mom was in her final years, 45% of adults with disabilities living independently are on Medicaid. So it affects real people. So the calls we're getting are largely around Elon Musk. Why is this unelected billionaire with all these federal grants being able to manipulate federal money? That just seems like corruption. And then it's about the cuts, especially around Medicaid. So I think people are actually a little more plugged in that are affected. We just got to get some of the folks that may not think they're affected yet to also understand, because there's a reason why the Republicans are told not to do town halls right now, because they've all been abysmal. Well, we're going to help make sure that people like Derek Van Orden and Tom Tiffany have to have town halls. And, you know, this Saturday, I think we're going to give people an opportunity, maybe in Derek's district, to come and talk to a member of Congress. It won't be their own, but we're going to figure out how to do that.
Well, and that's the thing that people have been clamoring for, is to provide all these opportunities, get Democrats in front of cameras, talking to folks about this. Here's a great text that came in from Eric and Tosa saying, good morning, Pat and Congressman Pocan. Talking about the reporter who challenged the White House spokesperson on why they're not prosecuting all of the alleged fraud that they claim to have found. Could Dems please start asking these kinds of questions specifically in front of reporters and expose the lying? Thank you for what you do. Basically, the question is about that they keep saying they're going after waste, fraud, and abuse, and yet I don't see anybody actually prosecuting fraud. So right. maybe it's just cutting for the sake of cutting?
Well, and honestly, it's been talk about a you know what show. You know, they have no idea what they're doing. Elon Musk has no experience in federal government. The largely 20 somethings that he's got working with him have no experience in federal government. And they're doing these deep cuts. And when they post them, the first time they posted, the first cut they said they did was $8 billion. Well, that was the entire budget of ICE. The actual thing they did was $8 million, only 1,000 times off. But $2.5 million had already been spent. So maybe it really was $5.5 million. The next three items were the same item, just three times written differently. And the fourth item, I think it was by a 20 factor, they were off again on the cost. They have no idea what they're doing, yet the claims are off the charts. Again, part of this is the misdirection to find that funding for the tax break. So cutting programs the middle class need and people who need a little extra assistance, fake waste, fraud, and abuse. The real fraud and abuse is this DOGE commission. And then ultimately, after the fact, it'll all go on the national debt. And then again, long after these things have already taken place, we're going to be paying for this.
And one thing that we won't have time to get into is this notion of setting up a national cryptocurrency reserve. I mean, no potential for fraud, abuse, and oligarchy in there, or the gold card to get in. Oh, so many things we have to cover in later visits with Congressman Mark Pocan. Congressman, the list isn't getting any smaller, so we'll keep adding to it, and we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good, Pat. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. When we come back, Todd Alba from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show will be joining us to talk a bit about the president's speech last night. And again, holding a measure of sanity and balance in all of this. And again, reminding people it's all about the homework. Taking things at face value. Don't take us at face value. We've all got Google machines. Take a look at the headlines, look at trusted news sources, and don't just let any one person tell you what's going on. Use us for support. Kind of like the way a drunk uses a lamppost for support, not illumination. We'd rather be
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers trained to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
One more for Andy Gibbs' birthday, a little shadow dancing as they play with the numbers in Congress. Is it a cut? Is it going to tax cuts? Are you going to see the savings? It's all shadows. Here's our favorite shadow dancer now, Todd Alba. His show can be heard noon to 2, weekdays, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Alba, how are you?
Hanging in there, Patrick. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I went out shopping this morning based on the last night's speech and buying extra. And I'm stocking up on toilet paper.
Look at you. That's a lot of toilet paper there. Could I suggest maybe adding Metamucil to your diet?
Towers of TP.
Yes. I don't know. I just look at it as there was a chance for something more substantive there. Not that Donald Trump was ever going to give you something more, but it was a campaign speech. It just is what it was. And like every other campaign speech last year, we have forgotten it. We're just moving on. There's other things to do. I, for one, am happy that we appear to have only gotten like maybe 2 inches of snow. It's going to be a lot of ice, but I don't have to run the snowblower today. I can just let this thing melt over the next couple of days. Other folks aren't so lucky, so please be careful out there. If you're moving snow or if you're on those slippery surfaces, What are you going to be talking about today on your fine program?
Well, we'll talk a little bit about the speech. We got you. We got Trygve Olsen. Although Trygve tells me now that he can't come on until hour number two. So
he's avoiding me again.
Yep, all I right. guess so. He's a very, very
that guy
busy man.
Folds like a cheap deck of cards, I tell you.
Very busy man. No, he's
okay, Todd, I'll come on the show. It's fine. I'll come on. It's fine.
welcome. Yes. Come on.
Poor man's Trygve, Greg Bach, is here. Yes.
Oh.
He's not the Lincoln Project. He's with the Mary Todd Lincoln Project. It's a totally different group altogether. But
yes.
This is why you're the comedian and why I don't do improv. So I'm glad to again defer to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so Trygve in the second hour. That'll be just
I was fun. Actually named after Mary Todd Lincoln. I'm not making that up.
Shut
yes,
up.
You are.
No, I'm serious. Because allegedly in our genealogy that my great great grandmother on my mom's side, her last name was Todd, and of the Todd Lincoln. Supposedly, I'm related to Mary, not Lincoln, but Mary Todd Lincoln.
I think that might be a bit of a stretch when you're naming your baby. Is to go, I mean,
well, I was named after like my great grandmother Todd. You know, whatever.
I mean, look, so, mine was very simple. My dad's name was Jerry. It was Jerome Patrick, and so I'm named Patrick Jerome. I don't know that I would have gone back, you know, 4 to 6 generations to pick a name. It's like, we will name you Jebediah Alba in for the great 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 grandfather that immigrated here.
This is also true. My dad wanted to name me, because his name is Jim James, he wanted to name me Jesse James Alba.
Of course.
Said, no way.
No. No. go with Bocephus at that point. You know, we're just doing word salad here. Yes, we are. But
hitherto unknown facts about Todd.
I know. I like that. The other thing that I wanted to make sure I emphasize, because I asked you about this yesterday, is road trips, because again with the snow coming and everything, we've been talking about baseball. I got to see a spring training game last week, thanks to you and others for filling in. I appreciate that very much.
You're welcome. I'm very
and
jealous.
That and that it probably won't be that long. I don't think you have anything in the hopper yet, but I'm just saying I'm here to encourage you. The moment you, I'll never forget. You know, you made that trip up to Amory,
along with
Jane Matt.
It's Mayer. Back. It's back.
Yes, and I can't wait. Maybe it's just the snow that's doing it. I'm just itching for spring and all those signs of it, like baseball.
Yes,
and like Todd on the road.
Well, here's the question: we've debated this on the show because Pam Yonke has a fabulous farm babe from Midwest Farm Report.
Yes,
has a promo going right now, and it's right here in Dane County, so it wouldn't cost the company very much at all. There is the Testicle Festival.
Oh yeah!
Next
oh
month.
Boy! Here
and
we
do
go.
Do I go to the Testicle Festival and broadcast from there? Up or yes or no?
Do you
have the cojones to do it?
Oh, there we go again. This is why that's the guy that should be doing improv, not over here. Oh boy! Hey, it's worth exploring. You know.
Well, I've done that for quite a while, but anyway,
I'm not going there in so many ways. But to learn more from Pam, you can hear the full Midwest Farm Report weekday mornings starting at 5 on Civic Media stations in Hayward, Oshkosh, Amory, and Richland Center, or use the Civic Media app. The Civic Media app is a great yes.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the Civic Media app is a great way to catch the Todd Alba show as well.
It is, and Pat Kreitlow. We might go. I want to go up and do a show on your pontoon boat.
I do too. We got to make that happen this year.
Oh,
absolutely.
Can I be your producer?
Yes.
Now I've got the equipment. I've got the Starlink. I've got the battery, so I can go anywhere now.
Yeah.
I don't have to have a power outlet.
Yes. On the text line, Tom from Jackson. Yes. Go. I assume that means the aforementioned
festival.
Get off the air. Yes. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be it. Just go. Whatever gets it done. So there you go. That's our outlook for this week with Todd. Looking forward to spring and the activities that we may do and the activities that some of us definitely will not be doing. But Todd might. So stay tuned for that.
I think road trip to opening day. That's what I'm saying. Road trip. All y'all come down. Let's all just opening day.
And opening day is a Monday. If that works out, great. If it's not, and you know what? Any other game.
Yep.
Any other game, I'm there for you as well. So let's do it. Mr. Alba, thank you so much. We'll talk to you over the noon hour.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Greg Bach is back with Matt and Aaron Air. 2 short hours from now, so stick around for that as well. Tomorrow on the program, we've got 2 more members of the Wisconsin legislature joining us, including State Senator LaTanya Johnson, who is a member of the Joint Finance Committee that writes the budget, and State Assembly Rep Russell Goodwin, a new member of the Wisconsin legislature. We'll talk about his opening weeks working in Madison. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. Enjoy your day. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6. Here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
At 3 p.m. for Broad Appeal, we talk to Wisconsin Senator Dianne Hesselbein about her billionaire overlord and Trump's plan to gut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks? Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, so this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Wednesday morning quarterbacking on the president's congressional speech.
The biggest problem that I had with the speech is that there was nothing said, nothing laid out, nothing articulated by Donald Trump to meet the needs of the American people, particularly as it relates to the economy.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson, on why Texas Congressman Al Green was escorted out of the chamber. Johnson says he remembers a similar but much smaller disruption previously.
The only example I can think of is one, you know, the famous Joe Wilson, where he uttered something in a Barack Obama speech, but he quieted down immediately and was quiet for the rest of the night. Al Green was trying to interrupt the entire proceeding.
The president, during his speech, touting his 6-week-old administration's reshaping of the federal government, trade, and foreign policy. Across the South, communities are surveying damage from an overnight slew of severe weather, including tornadoes. 2 in Mississippi were killed. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.